This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So here we are, الحمد لله, less than an hour away from the beginning of the last 10 nights of this blessed month of Ramadan. It is Sunday, May 2nd, 2021, and it is the 20th day of the month of Ramadan in the year 1442, after the hijrah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. And today, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will there's not enough people on for me to basically be making these announcements. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be live streaming from the masjid later on, insha'Allah ta'ala, at 9:45 p.m. Toronto time, because I know some of you are in different countries around the world, like in Sydney, Australia, and Malaysia, and I think the UK, and there's someone from Russia, alhamdulillah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably finish up about no less than 10 minutes before Maghrib, insha'Allah ta'ala. That gives me a chance to pack everything up in my bag, because I need to transport this setup to the masjid in order to live stream afterwards, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we'll be live streaming on the odd nights from the masjid at 9:45 at night, insha'Allah. So that's going to happen starting tonight, insha'Allah. Today we're going to be looking at the 20th juz of the Qur'an, which comprises of verses from Surah Al-Naml, Surah Al-Qasas, as well as Surah Al-Ankabut. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives us many, many lessons. In fact, there are so many different lessons and stories that we can look at in terms of prophets like Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim, Lut, Shu'aib, you know, the people of Ad and Thamud, you know, examples from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A huge chunk of, you know, this juz is dedicated to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who is the most mentioned prophet in the Quran. His name is mentioned in the Quran more than any other of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll see that from Surah Qasas onwards. But for now, we'll jump into a couple of lessons from Surah An-Naml before we move on, insha'Allah. If we look at verse number 76 until verse 81 of Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, and in order to save time, I'm just going to go through the English. Indeed, this Qur'an clarifies for the children of Israel most of what they differ over. And it is truly a guide and mercy for the believers. The Qur'an is truly a guide and mercy. وَإِنَّهُ لَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ It's a guide and mercy for those who believe, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 78, Your Lord will certainly judge between them by His justice, for He is the Almighty, All-Knowing. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقْضِي بَيْنَهُمْ بِحُكْمِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting us know that He is the most honest and fair of judges. And then He says, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ So put your trust in Allah, for you are surely upon the path of clear truth. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You certainly cannot make the dead hear. So a message to the believers that you cannot make those, and it's not referring to the dead specifically, it's referring to those whose hearts are dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You certainly cannot make the dead hear. As in, they will not hear the truth, no matter how loud you say it, how much you try to convey this message to them. Their hearts are dead. So it's like talking to someone who is dead. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that, you know, comparison. You know, you will not make someone who's dead be able to hear, no matter how loud you try to make it. Nor can you make the deaf hear the call when they turn their backs and walk away. Nor can you lead the blind out of their misguidance. You can make none hear the truth except those who believe in our revelations, fully submitting to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is not specifically referring to the blind. He is not specifically referring to the deaf. And he is not specifically referring to the dead. Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to those who hear the message and refuse to accept it, who see the believers or who witness, you know, signs and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ignore it and reject it. Those who, you know, they hear it, they see it, they live it, they interact with Muslims and so on and so forth, yet they choose not to believe because their hearts are dead, right? Their hearts are like they are dead. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. Right? So put your trust in Allah, for you are surely upon the path of clear truth. My brothers and sisters, there will always come times in our lives where we... That didn't make any sense. There will always be times in our lives where we want to help others, we want to assist others to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the people that we love. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, put your trust in Allah. For we don't even know if we will live and die upon Iman and Islam. We don't know what will be the outcome of our own lives. And so my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in trust, trusting that He will do what is right, continuing upon the path of righteousness, upon the path of khayr and goodness, and leaving it up to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then if we continue onwards and we look at the last part of the surah, Surah An-Naml, verse number 89-93, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. Whoever comes with a good deed will be rewarded with what is better. Will be rewarded with that which is better. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. Whoever comes with a good deed. فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. وَهُمْ مِنْ فَزَعٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ آمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we come with a good deed, if we do something that is good, that is positive, it is multiplied or it is increased in value. So the good deeds that we do are multiplied and rewarded in abundance. And they will be secure from the horror on that day. Right? Of course, those are the good deeds that are performed by those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever comes with evil deeds, right? Whoever comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with evil deeds will be hurled face first into the fire. And you are rewarded, are you rewarded except for what you used to do, right? هَلْ تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Are you rewarded except for what you used to do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the good deeds that we perform in our lives are multiplied, they are increased. And the evil deeds, the sins that we commit in our lives, they will be written. And those who choose to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no good deeds, with disobedience, with lack of belief, they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what they produced, with what they came with, right? Are you rewarded except with what you used to do? This is what you did in your life, and so this is what you get. This is what you'll have. This is what was written. And for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do good deeds, for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a abundant amount of reward, as he mentioned in the previous verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 91 of Surah An-Naml, say, O Prophet, right? This is a message to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say to the people, I have only been commanded to worship the Lord of this city. Which city is he referring to? This is Mecca. Okay, he's referring to Mecca. I've only been commanded to worship the Lord of this city, who has made it sacred, and to him belongs everything. And I am commanded to be one of those who fully submit to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I've been commanded to worship the Lord of this city, who has made this a sacred place. And it was sacred even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation. And to him belongs everything. And I am commanded to be one of those who fully submit to him. وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Are we from amongst those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we from amongst those who have been given that blessing of Iman and Islam, and to live throughout this day, let's just take this day as an example. If we have the strength and the ability, as in we are not sick, we're not traveling, or we are not, you know, exempt for whatever reason, whether due to pregnancy or someone having, you know, their period for the month. If those exceptions are put aside and we have the ability to choose whether we are going to fast or not, and we've chosen to fast and we've chosen to submit subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in itself is proof and evidence that we are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've chosen to fully submit to Allah azza wa jal. And we should extend that to not only fasting but to also making sure that we never miss a prayer. After this month of Ramadan, we should never miss a prayer. You probably have noticed that throughout this month, alhamdulillah, for the most part, those who were a little bit weak or a little bit late on praying their prayers, alhamdulillah, they try their best to work at establishing their prayers throughout these days of Ramadan. And so after this month of Ramadan is over, try your best to fulfill those prayers and make sure that they are on time. You know, change something within your life. Be a better person. Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say to the people, وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that I have been commanded to be from amongst those who fully submit. If you feel that you have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so, then do it. Fully submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can force you. لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There's no compulsion in our deen. But if you feel that this is you, this is right, this is true, then submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit in every aspect. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is halal, alhamdulillah, it's halal, do it. Every single thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is haram, it's haram, alhamdulillah, stay away from it. Right? And then in the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sorry, the second to last verse, وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ, and to recite the Qur'an. I've been commanded to fully submit to him and to recite the Qur'an. Then whoever chooses to be guided, it is only for their own good. But whoever chooses to stray, say, O Prophet, I am only a warner. Right? إِنَّمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ. And then in the last verse, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, and say, all praise is for Allah. Alhamdulillah. He will show you his signs and you will recognize them. And your Lord is never unaware of what you do. I was with Sheikh Ala As-Sayyid earlier today, and we were discussing the pandemic and how we were discussing dua. The question actually was, what are you going to be asked for? What are you going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for during these last 10 nights of Ramadan? Or during the night of, the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th? What is going to be in your dua? And one of the things that came up was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. For this pandemic, of course, is a difficulty, it's a hardship, and we want this pandemic to be removed. But Sheikh Alaa was mentioning something really important. He says, look, as much as we want the pandemic to be removed, we as believers understand that the hardships we go through, and this pandemic is a hardship. We're not saying that we like it. No one is saying that we enjoy it. No one is saying that we want it to stay. But let's look at the positivity in it. The positive aspect of the pandemic is that as believers, we know that as difficult as it is for us, as hard as the struggle actually is, it's a means of our forgiveness. Are we to say that we don't need forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course, we all need forgiveness from Allah. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that you're going through this hardship, this difficulty. Recognize that this is from Allah and know that it is a means of our forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us through being patient throughout this pandemic, being patient with the difficulty of not seeing family, being patient with the hardship of staying alone and isolated and within your homes, being patient with wearing a mask when you really don't want to and you just want to breathe the fresh air, being patient with having to be at a distance from the people who are next to you, being patient with the fact that we can't just get together and chill and socialize, being patient with washing our hands even more regularly than we already did as believers, right? Alhamdulillah, we make wudu regularly, we wash our hands. Cleanliness and purity is part of our belief, alhamdulillah. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we are patient with the hardships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts upon us, it is a means of our forgiveness. Every single one of us throughout this month of Ramadan is seeking forgiveness. Right? Every single one of the believers throughout the month of Ramadan is seeking forgiveness. And not only forgiveness, we're seeking pardoning of our sins. Right? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma innaka afu. Oh Allah, verily you are the one who pardons. Right? Tuhibbul afwa. You love to pardon. Fa'afu anna. So pardon us of our sins. As in, remove them. They don't even exist. Not just forgiving them, just completely annihilate them. Right? So my brothers and sisters, if we're seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the month of Ramadan, and at the same time, we are not putting up with the hardships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us, then we're not fully and entirely attaining forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're not being patient with what Allah has put before us. And we know that the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with are a means of our forgiveness. So let's try our best to be as patient as we can be with the hardships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us. Let's move to Surah Al-Qasas. Surah Al-Qasas, the story of Musa alayhi salam is mentioned. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was guiding him from childhood into his teenage years. And then as a young adult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course his mother was scared. Fir'aun encouraged the killing of all the children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the wife of Fir'aun, right? She was the one who encouraged or motivated Fir'aun to adopt this child, Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him when his mother was worried, right? His mother was extremely worried about him. And so, alhamdulillah, it's from the plan of Allah azza wa jal that the wife of Fir'aun would be the woman who encouraged to keep Musa alayhi salam in the house of Fir'aun when he was to be the child, or was the child who grew to be the one who came and challenged Fir'aun and led them over to the water and parted the sea, and they entered into it, and then Fir'aun with his army entered behind Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the water come in upon Fir'aun and drown Fir'aun at that moment in time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved him. And so the story is there. It goes into more detail, of course. You know, Musa alayhi salam, when he punched that man, right? And with one blow, because of the strength of Musa alayhi salam, one blow, he killed that man. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And of course, Musa alayhi salam was very upset and disturbed by this, incident. And he left, he fled, because he was worried that it would become known that he was the one who had done this. So he fled and he left. And he came to Madian, you know, and he sees, you know, the two sisters who are trying to feed their animals. And he goes over to the home afterwards in the evening after helping these, you know, sisters with their animals. He goes over to the home. He's invited to have dinner, and he is offered, you know, to stay and to work and to marry one of the daughters and to live there. Alhamdulillah. And he accepts and he lives for a number of years. And then Musa alayhi salam, after some time, returns to Egypt, right? After his contract had expired, right, with his father-in-law. And he returns to Egypt and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help with his brother, so that his brother Harun can go with him to face Fir'aun. Okay, to face Fir'aun. And of course, you know, that whole story is there. You can go through it and read it on your own, insha'Allah ta'ala. Like we said, we've covered some of the story of Musa alayhi salam already, and he is the prophet that is mentioned the most in the Quran. All right, let's move to verse number 56. Verse number 56. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you surely cannot guide whoever you like. And he's saying this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that is the message that is coming from Allah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innaka, O you, Prophet Muhammad, right? You cannot guide those who you like. As in, you can't be the one who chooses who from amongst those you prefer or you wish to be guided, to be guided. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. But it is Allah who guides whoever He wills, and He knows, وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ, and He knows best who are fit to be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best who is fit to be guided. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, you wonder to yourself, how is it that one person is fit over another? One person is deserving of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over another. That is between Allah and the abd. That's between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his worshipper, his servant, his slave. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us, He expects us to worship Him. And He says, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every single one of us as human beings, we are born upon the fitrah. And it is our parents who encourage us to follow a certain path, right? Either of this or that or Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us reason and intellect. He's given us the ability to think for ourselves, to decide what is right and decide what is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also put so many signs of His power and might and strength in front of us. He has also blessed us with so many ni'am, so many blessings, so many different ni'mas here and there, right? Little things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. He has also granted us the ability to interact with Muslims and to hear the message of Islam, to listen to the Quran, to learn the translation and the explanation of the Quran, to see and witness Muslims standing and praying, you know, fasting, going for Hajj, submitting, leaving all of this dunya behind and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing, literally with nothing. When you go to Muzdalifah, you have nothing, right? You don't even have darkness in the middle of the night, right? You don't even have darkness, even though it's the middle of the night, because Muzdalifah has so many lights, right? So many bright lights in Muzdalifah. Oh, it's so bright, you know, with the lights so that people could see where you're going. You don't trample over each other, that it's the middle of the night. The sky is dark, but it's bright around you, right? SubhanAllah. You have nothing in Muzdalifah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has placed so many signs of His greatness in front of us, right? here we go. The questions are coming. Whenever I see questions, I try to, you know, slowly address them. When I see a question from my wife, I have to like pause, you know, give it its due diligence, like pay attention. What is the wisdom behind Musa alayhi salam and his story being mentioned so often in the Quran? So many wisdoms. You know, first of all, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gave us this prophet that not only the Muslims, but the Jewish and the Christians are linked to. The Muslims, the Jewish and the Christians are linked to. And so when you're reading the Quran, the people of the book will hear Moses. They will hear the story of Musa and they will think to themselves, hey, why is this mentioned here? Right? Why is Mary mentioned? Why is Jesus mentioned? Why is Moses mentioned? So the Jewish will be able to relate. The Christians will be able to relate. And the Muslims will be able to relate. Everyone knows this story. So it's important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the Quran, to be able to relate to what is within it. And not only the Muslims can relate to the story of Musa, the non-Muslims can as well. That's one reason. And there are many, like I said. Another reason is that Musa alayhi salam did something that he was not happy with. Yet he continued upon goodness. He could have backed away and said, I'm destined for the punishment of Allah. I had committed a sin. I punched a man and that took his life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that he is forgiving. That Allah is forgiving. And he forgave Musa alayhi salam, right? And Musa alayhi salam continued on to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back, okay? To goodness, come, go to Fir'aun, face him. That is another lesson, right? There's, like I said, so many lessons. Going and facing the person who set out to kill so many people. Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, killed so many boys. Hunting out, seeking Musa, not realizing that Allah chose to raise him in his own house. So sometimes we don't realize that what is harmful to us is right in front of us. And what is good for us, we sometimes seek it out, we hunt it down, and we don't realize, but that could actually be something that destroys us. Okay? So again, you can go on and on and on and say, but what about this and what about that and what about this and what about Muhammad? What about Ibrahim? And what about Isa? And what about this and that? Yeah, there's so many. There are so many. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us Musa alayhi salam, there's so many different angles in his life, right? Where he was patient with the incident at the time of the cow, okay? When they were worshipping the cow. He was patient with that. And he brought his brother to help him, right? The importance of family and sticking together. Musa alayhi salam in the incident with the angel of death. Angel of death comes to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam hits him in the face, right? Notorious for boxing, mashallah. Ultimate boxer, right? Khabib. So subhanallah, you know, Musa alayhi salam hits the angel of death. Angel of death goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complaining. He comes back with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take your hand and put it on the back of this ram. For every strand of fur that is under your hand, you will live for 1 year. Musa alayhi salam says, what about when these years run out? What happens after that? Angel of death tells him, he says, then death. You will receive death. That is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does he do? He submits to it. Right. So we move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And he knows best who is fit to be guided. So as we were saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what is in the hearts of people. We might think and say, Ya Allah, why? This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my mother. This is my father. This is my son. This is my daughter. How is it? Ya Allah, guide them. But Allah knows what's in the hearts. He knows what they conceal within their hearts. And I give you a simple example. Sometimes we think we know the people who live around us. Sometimes we think we know them. But every single one of us hides, we conceal something within us. And that is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not just one thing. Multiple things we conceal. We don't share with anyone around us. We keep it only between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah knows what's in our hearts. And just as He knows what's in our hearts, He knows what is in the hearts of those who choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have put this brick wall right in place. Right? They've put a brick wall in place and they do not want to accept it and they reject the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse number 73. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 73, "It is out of His mercy that He has made for you the day and night so that you may rest in the latter and seek His bounty in the former, and perhaps you will be grateful." Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has put the day and the night for us to be able to benefit from. The day we benefit from in terms of going out and seeking the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the blessings from Allah azza wa jal, right? Seeking what Allah has put for us wherever we go. You walk down the street, you see someone, assalamu alaykum. That's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's there. Nighttime, you might be outside, they might be outside, you don't see them. The nighttime is a time to rest. The nighttime is the time that Allah has programmed for our bodies to be at ease, to give it a little bit of downtime, to slow down. And then to wake up and to spend time at night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, as we took an example yesterday. And we will see it again over and over in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. We try to push a little bit more. We try to excel a little bit beyond the limits that we are comfortable with. Just push a little more. An extra 5 minutes. An extra 10 minutes. An extra 20 minutes. Extra half an hour. Extra sadaqah. Extra Quran. Extra listening to a lecture. Extra istighfar. Right? Extra dua, seeking forgiveness from Allah, but also asking Allah to save us and protect us from Jahannam. All of these things we can try to do throughout these 10 nights of Ramadan, these last few nights of this blessed month. So you sometimes see me looking to that side, and you'll always hear dogs barking every time I look over there. And that's because, and I mentioned this last Ramadan, I remember the neighbor across the street, their backyard, because their house is like a corner lot, and they have this little dog. And everyone who walks their dog past that house, the little dog starts barking wildly. And no matter how small or how big the other dogs are, those dogs freak out. And the owners who walk by always panic. And they're like trying to tackle, you know, the dog and hold on to the leash really strong. And there are these two women who were just two of them holding on to the leash, trying to keep their dog from running wildly. SubhanAllah, massive dog. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put these blessings there as well for us to see and to recognize how something small picks on something so big, but from behind a wall, right? Something small is picking on another dog that is even bigger, but from behind the wall, and it feels safe and protected. And we'll see the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being mentioned in some of the verses that we have to come. Okay, let's move to Surah Al-Ankabut. In Surah Al-Ankabut, we'll take verse number 8 and then we'll jump to verse number 41 to 43. In verse number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We have commanded people to honor their parents. Right? We've commanded people to honor their parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if they urge you to associate with me what you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them. To me, you will all return. And then I will inform you of what you used to do. This is the verse, my brothers and sisters. This ayah, verse number 8 of Surah Al-Ankabut. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to honor our parents, except And that's the middle part of the verse. Except if they urge you to associate with me what you have no knowledge of. If your parents are encouraging you to do something that goes against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the one time that you disregard their command. That is the time that you disregard their command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then do not obey them. And I'm saying this on purpose. Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. I'm saying this because there are so many Muslims, grown adults, more particularly Muslim men, who are treated by their mothers like they are big babies. And I'll say it straight. They're treated by their mothers like they're big babies. And they do dhulm. The husband, the man, the father, does dhulm, oppression, to his wife and to his children at times when he does only what his mother asks him to do. And by extension, he is oppressing his wife and his children by not fulfilling the responsibility that he has upon them and the rights that they have upon him. So my brothers in particular, and sometimes it is the sisters, some sisters will be like, it's my mother, I have to go and stay with her. No, you don't. No, your mother does not need you. She's not asking you to be there. She's not forcing it upon you. She's not someone who is incompetent or incapable of looking after herself. So you have rights. She has rights. Your family have rights. Your children have rights. Your spouse has rights. You need to make sure that you find that balance. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, but if they urge you to associate with me what you have no knowledge of. Sometimes some parents, and I'm saying this from experience in the community, some and mothers in particular will do this with their sons. They will make them almost worship them. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They will treat their sons and force things upon them to the point that it is as though they are disregarding all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything else, and you have to do this for me or else you're going to Jahannam. This is what they say. And how many times, mothers, please do not make dua against your children. Do not make dua against your children. The dua of a mother is accepted. The dua of a mother is heard. Don't make dua against your children. Make dua for your children. Right? Subhanallah. There are countless examples that I can give, but I don't want to because I don't want anyone to feel as though I'm sharing their, you know, and it happens all the time. Sometimes I just talk about something generally and people message me and say, oh, you were talking about my story. No, I wasn't talking about your story. I'm talking about a general statement that this happens and there needs to be an address to these issues. So mothers in particular, stop abusing your sons and stop abusing their families. Sons who are grown adults, men who have children, understand your deen and understand the limitations. And I am not sitting here saying disobey your parents, not at all. What I am saying is, some people abuse their powers, or I shouldn't even say powers, they abuse their position in the family. Stop abusing your position. Because what you're doing is you're taking away from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your son, who's a grown man, who has a wife and children, has a responsibility to look after them as well. Stop taking that away from them. Stop oppressing others. Stop oppressing others. Because remember, just as much as your dua is heard and listened to, the dua of the one who is oppressed, there is no hijab between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are oppressing even your own family members, your own children, there is no barrier in that dua between the one who is oppressed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be careful. Be careful. Especially mothers who are out there, who are taking full advantage of their sons. And they know very well that they're taking advantage of their sons. Let your children who have grown into adults live their life as well. And you live your life. Go and enjoy the green grass outside. Go and enjoy the parks. Go for a walk with your husband. Hold your husband's hand. Right? Hold each other's hand. Don't walk around and be like, oh, you know, I'm like this and I'm like that. And toba, I'm going to take my life if you don't do this. What is this nonsense? And you know very well. You know very well who you are. And you know very well what you say. And you know very well that you're lying and you're not going to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and help us all. Forgive me for being harsh, but I have to say it straight because too many sisters are being abused in this manner. They are married and their husbands say, my mother. And they go over, oh, beta. Come on. Beta's not a beta anymore. He can do his own laundry. He's supposed to be doing his laundry. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, you know, sew and mend his own clothing if there was something that needed to be fixed. He would clean his house. He would look after other people's houses. To the point that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, would go into the homes of other people and help them. Umar ibn al-Khattab would go into the homes of other people and help them. And they would never do that when their families were suffering. They would look after their family and the families of others. So stop with this meta beta stuff. Okay? Enough is enough. And forgive me if anyone's taking offense to it, I'm Pakistani as well. So I'm allowed to use some of these terms too. Right? Sometimes people get really upset. They're like, oh, why do you have to say, you know, use this term or that term? Khalas. Like, don't just point your finger at something else. If we find a problem within ourselves, fix that problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. And let's skip right to verse number 41 to 43. Like I said, I wanted to cover insha'Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now this is Surah Al-Ankabut, right? The spider. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the parable of those who take protectors other than Allah. Remember we were talking about seeking protection from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The parable of those who take protectors other than Allah is that of a spider spinning a shelter. And the flimsiest of all shelters is certainly that of a spider, if only they knew. The flimsiest of shelters is that of the spider, if only they knew. So basically, those who are taking other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their God, or they're worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking help in something other than Allah, without putting their trust in Allah first and foremost, it's like they're a spider on a web. And you just blow on it, and it starts going wild. And you just touch it, and doing, it like breaks, right? And some rain falls on it, and it gets destroyed. Right? And so there's no protection there. There's no protection. The spider's just out in the open. Right? It's not like a home that we're in where you can close the windows and close the doors and lock things and so on and seek that protection. In verse number 42, Allah surely knows that whatever gods they invoke besides Him are simply nothing. For He is the Almighty, All-Wise. And in verse number 43, these are the parables we set forth for humanity, but none will understand them except the people of knowledge. None will understand them except for people of knowledge. You are the people of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, we are sitting here trying to understand. People are walking around enjoying their day, enjoying their evening, watching other things, spending their time, wasting time on things. Alhamdulillah, if we learn a lesson or two of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with it and we benefit from it. Allah mentions here, none will understand this or these examples except the people of knowledge. So continue to gain knowledge and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, as He says in the Quran, make dua to Allah, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continuously increase us in knowledge. That's all the time that we have for today. Remember, my brothers and sisters, as I mentioned earlier, we will be live streaming tonight in an hour and a half. So in an hour and a half at 9:45 p.m. Toronto time, we will be live streaming once again from the Islamic Community Center of Milton, inshallah ta'ala. I will be there with Sheikh Hudhaifa, with Sheikh Riyad, and with another Hafiz of the Quran, one of our students, alhamdulillah. Please do join us there. We'll listen to some of the Quran being recited, and then we will address the entire community. So please tune back in an hour and a half at 9:45 p.m. Toronto time. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum. And please do tell your family and your friends. Let them know that we will be live streaming as well. I've posted it up on Instagram, but if you can let others know, that would be great. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.